Meeting of Denver City Council. Full coverage of this session of the Land Use, Transportation, and Infrastructure Committee begins now.
Good afternoon. My name is Darrell Watson. I am honored to be the chair of the Land Use, Transportation, and Infrastructure Committee. Thank you all for watching on Denver 8. Thank you so much, council members, for being here with us at the table. We have a nice, intimate agenda today. We have one action item, four consent items, and why don't we begin with introductions? We'll start on the right.
Good afternoon, Flor Alvidres, Lucky District 7.
And good afternoon, Paul Cashman, South Denver District 6.
Good morning, Amanda, or good afternoon, Amanda Sandvall, Northwest Denver District 1.
Well, we'll kick off our presentation with community planning and development. We have Brandon Shaver and Andrew Webb to continue the discussion around advancing equity in rezoning. So, gentlemen, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you so much, committee chair, and good afternoon, Ludi. I'm Brandon Shaver, Senior City Planner and Project Manager for Advancing Equity and Rezoning, joined by my colleague, Andrew Webb, and we're happy to answer any questions. We are very excited to be back for an action item today, and hope you have questions that have come up in the last few weeks. We're happy to answer those. So looking at the agenda, we're going to start by providing a brief background and intent of the project, moving through key outcomes that this project is proposing through both a text amendment and updates to our standard operating procedures. And then walk through the public process, how we got here, and then end with the review criteria evaluation and welcome any questions. So brief background. Blueprint Denver contains key recommendations for updating our rezoning process, which has largely remained the same since the 1950s and is in need of a thoughtful update. As we all know, rezonings can impact neighborhoods in a variety of ways. And therefore, to better incorporate Denver's values and commitment to equity, CP began working on the Advancing Equity and Rezoning Project in late 2021. So, after almost 3 years of engagement with the community and stakeholders, this project is going to have updates to our zoning code and to our operating procedures, making sure that we're better explaining rezoning to the public and giving them more opportunity to participate in the process. Both of those pieces are going to make for a more equitable, transparent, and accessible rezoning process in Denver. So we're going to start by taking a look at the specifics of the proposed text amendment. Key outcomes include revisions to our review criteria to remove unnecessary language and make them easier for folks to understand, and creating more accessible and clear opportunities for the public to get involved. Again, this text amendment will be accompanied by a suite of important updates to CPD standard operating procedures. Now we'll take a look at each piece of the text amendment in more detail. So the first, as you see here, is updating the rezoning review criteria. How we're doing that is we're proposing to keep both the consistency with adopted plans and consistency with neighborhood context description, zone district, and intent criteria. Adopted plans are developed with extensive community engagement and are the best tool for expressing the vision of a community and provide guidance for rezonings and identify opportunities for equitable outcomes. Similarly, consistency with neighborhood context description, zone district purpose, and intent is a criterion helpful in evaluating if a proposed zone district is appropriate at a specific location in our city. The next update is clarifying the existing community need provision that's housed within consistency with adopted plans by making it an exception. This ensures that plan consistency will be highlighted as the most important criterion, and exceptions to it should be rare and extraordinary in nature and occurrence. This proposal would remove uniformity of district regulations and restrictions, as it is already included in the city charter and serves as a basis for the creation and uniform application of zone districts across the city. Therefore, it's not helpful for evaluation of a proposed zone district. Justifying circumstances is also unnecessary, as the focus of rezoning should be to implement the community's vision as expressed in adopted plans. Therefore, requiring additional circumstances to justify a rezoning could present a barrier to implementing the plan. For instances in which a significant change has occurred since the adoption of the plan and a rezoning is necessary to meet a community need, the new exception provided within Consistency with adopted plans is better suited to address that situation. The last proposed change is to update the public health, safety, and general welfare criterion to public interest. This allows for a similar analysis and evaluation, but it does move us away from problematic language with an exclusionary and racist past. So CPD will find a rezoning to be in the public interest if it is consistent with our adopted plans, as plans and zoning are written to further the public interest. For planning board and city council, they're able to provide their own interpretations to decide if a rezoning is in the public interest, just as they do today with public health, safety, and general welfare. Moving to the next component, this proposal would require a sign to be posted on a subject property when a complete application is submitted. This is in addition to the signs that we currently require before planning board and city council public hearings. This newly required sign will be posted no later than 10 days after the application is deemed complete and will remain in place for at least 15 days or until it is replaced with the sign for a public hearing. The next proposed improvement, which will significantly advance equity, is expanding our written notices to tenants of property instead of just property owners. This would include residents of apartments and rented homes, as well as businesses and leased commercial units or structures. These notices would be sent to the most recent unit address available to the city, and those are typically updated on an annual basis. This will ensure that more community members are aware of proposed zoning changes in their neighborhood or to the properties where they live and do business. Last piece of this is that you'll notice that this proposes to clarify the extent to which these notices are sent to only include properties within city limits. There are a couple reasons for this. The first is to align our zoning code with related to protest petitions with the 2023 voter-approved charter change. For further alignment, this text amendment will also clarify the extent of written notices, with CPD providing them to tenants and owners of properties located within city limits. For rezonings near other jurisdictions, CPD will maintain our current practice of strongly encouraging applicants to engage with these communities, and folks outside of our city are still welcome to participate in the rezoning process and provide input at public hearings. Building on our discussion from a few weeks ago, the project team is proposing to keep our 200-foot radius to align with the protest petition requirements, acknowledging that increasing the radius could have an exponential impact on the number of notices that would be sent, and those are sent at the cost of applicants. There are a variety of ways that notices are also sent. We send them to RNOs and city council members to further spread awareness, and this, again, is in addition to the posted signs, which will be posted on subject properties 3 times throughout the process. So now that we've covered the text amendment, we'll look at how we're advancing equity through updating our standard operating procedures. To be clear, these proposed updates are outside of the text amendment, will be implemented after City Council approves the AIR project, and the specifics are still a work in progress, but we welcome your feedback. They include requiring applicants to begin conducting community outreach during the pre-application phase, updating public notice materials and creating useful guides, expanding our staff analysis and presentations with a focus on equity and climate, refining and updating the equity analysis pilot, and developing templates for voluntary commitments to equitable outcomes at the time of rezoning. So some of these changes would have pretty immediate impacts for rezonings that we have in the pipeline. So since Planning Board recommended City Council approve this text amendment, rezoning applications in progress would be reviewed as follows. For rezoning applications coming to City Council before February 25th, the current review criteria would be used for evaluation. Next, assuming City Council approves this text amendment, both the current and proposed review criteria would be used for applications, but the City Council staff report would only include the updated review criteria. And finally, for rezonings with public hearing dates after February 25th, applications and staff reports would use just the updated review criteria. So now we'll move to public process and upcoming key dates. Again, we're excited to be here today to bring this forward for an action item and hope that you can move it forward to the full City Council for their review and anticipate a public hearing on February 3rd of next year. As a reminder, over the course of this project, we've held 15 task force meetings, 2 open houses, and have more than 900 members of the public signed up for email updates, which were distributed at key project milestones. We're also providing an update to INC's zoning and planning community, committee rather, this week, and that's based on your feedback. Thank you there. A public review draft of the text amendment and the strategy report were released on November 4th, and since then we have received 6 comments. These comments generally are supportive of the project, but wanted to better understand the changes to the review criteria and how equity was considered throughout the process. As I spoke to earlier, the proposed changes to the review criteria are focused on removing unnecessary language and improving clarity and access for the public to understand and therefore advance equity. Also important to remember that this project is focused on increasing equity in the rezoning process and is just one component of the city's efforts to advance equity in all development. To expand on this, I want to briefly mention related ongoing and upcoming efforts CPD is committed to. So first, next year CPD will prioritize starting an Unlocking Housing Choices project. This will be its own different animal and a type of project, as it will provide outcomes in all development instead of just the 10% that goes through the rezoning process. It will create on-site affordable housing requirements for projects with less than 10 units. That's going to be a multi-year effort and will result in a tool that neither EHA or this project were set up to develop. This need is was a large part of our discussion back in July, and we're looking forward to wrapping up the Advancing Equity and Rezoning project so staff can begin working to implement other key recommendations in our adopted plans at a citywide scale. Also, we're committed to continuing to do proactive rezonings after new plans are adopted, as this practice harnesses the extensive outreach and engagement conducted during the planning process and more quickly implements the community's vision for the future of their neighborhood. With that, we will move to the review criteria. The Denver Zoning Code sets forth 3 review criteria for text amendments. Starting with consistency with adopted plans, let's look at key recommendations in Comp Plan 2040 and Blueprint Denver. In Comp Plan 2040, related to the equitable, affordable, and inclusive vision element, this text amendment is consistent with strategies to improve equitable access to city processes and using data to evaluate equity impacts. The text amendment is also consistent with strategies within the strong and authentic neighborhoods vision element, related to providing more transparency and improving engagement and representation in this rezoning process. Moving to Blueprint Denver, the AIR text amendment is aligned with 2 key policies under land use and built form. First, it will increase access to the rezoning process by alerting neighbors, both renters and owners, of public hearings, requiring applicants to meaningfully engage with the community before submitting an application, and posting signs after an application is complete. Second, during the creation of the AIR text amendment, CPD built a standardized process for proactive legislative rezonings after plan adoption and is committed to continuing this practice. Text amendment is also consistent with and will advance Blueprint Denver's equity concepts. It will improve access to opportunity by notifying more residents of the rezoning process and provide them with updated guides to meaningfully engage and participate. Next, by providing applicants and community members with an equity analysis that's more focused on potential outcomes of rezoning with significant impact, strategies can be put in place to help mitigate displacement, such as through voluntary commitments agreed upon at the time of rezoning. And for expanding jobs and housing diversity, this text amendment is not anticipated to have any direct impact. This text amendment is also consistent with the remaining 2 criteria, furthering public health, safety, and general welfare through implementing key plan recommendations and will result in processes and regulations that are uniform for each zone district. Therefore, CPD recommends that Ludi move this text amendment forward for consideration by the full City Council, finding that all applicable review criteria have been met. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Brendan. I want to thank you and Andrew. See Kyle, I know Sarah's not here today, but for your extensive and really impressive community informed process throughout and your extensive feedback loop with it with City Council. I think it's been a fantastic beginning process. But before we go to the queue, I want to welcome Council Torres, Council Member Parity, and Councilmember Hines. Thank you all for joining us, and we have a queue. Councilmember Cashman is first in the queue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thanks for the presentation, as the committee chair said. Great work all along the way. But I'm wondering if I'd like to hear your interpretation of the difference between extraordinary community need and public interest. They seem like the same argument.
That's a really good question. I think they are similar, but they are different. I think that extraordinary community needs are really identified in public dialogues and processes. And so it's all in an effort to define what the public interest is, if that makes sense. And so an extraordinary community need is identified from the community, and it's also maybe just something, you know, economically wise that's changed in the city. And so therefore it's not just decision makers and staff, but it's also the community that's at the table that helps identify what that need is that will help further the public interest. And that would be the beginning of that would be the extraordinary community need.
And then how do you see general interest?
And then I think, again, CPD sees public interest by the things that we are just tasked with doing. So the creation of plans are developed in the public interest. The creation of zoning is to be in the public interest. That's how CPD evaluates the public interest.
It doesn't clear it up for me. I'm not asking you to do it now. I'm just saying that I'm not seeing the difference as of yet. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to ask about right now. I wanted to ask our attorney, looking at where we're changing public health, safety, and general welfare to public interest, and it says CPD will find a rezoning to be in the public interest if it is consistent with adopted plans. But planning board and city council may apply their own interpretations just as they do today with public health, safety, and general welfare. Seems odd. I assume you don't see any legal conflict in there.
That's correct, Jonathan Griffin, deputy legislative counsel. I don't see a legal conflict in that. I think as we've kind of talked about numerous times with both public health, safety, and welfare, and in this public intent language, it's very open to interpretation. In specific areas, there's case law that can provide us with some background on what to do, but when a council member is making a determination of what that is, it is very often in the eye of the beholder.
And Jonathan, do you mind coming forward? I know the camera is trying to find you for a second there, and you have some very important things to say, so.
Yeah, Jonathan Griffin, Deputy Legislative Counsel. As I was saying, basically, we don't see any legal issue with this language. And just in the same way that public safety, health, and welfare is a relatively loose isn't the right word, but is an undefined kind of standard, this public intent, same way. As specific instances come up and we have something, there might be more specific guidance we can give based on previous case law, but as in a general sense, it has always kind of been much more in the council member's discretion and belief as to whether or not this rezoning is furthering the public intent without kind of tight guardrails like there is in other areas.
Gotcha. Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks, Jonathan. I going back to my first question, I would find it impossible at a neighborhood meeting to clearly explain to my constituents the difference between extraordinary community need and public interest. So I appreciate where we're at. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilmember Cashman. Councilmember Torres.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, guys. And I want to say I think it was a really valuable use of time to be able to bring council and planning board together, and so I appreciate that recommendation, and I got a lot out of that piece, especially coming up to speed on how we're arriving at a lot of this new language. One thing that's been of interest to council for several years is kind of the public access to rezoning notifications, and we're I think circling a lot of these recommendations around process and visibility. And so I would still love to see, and this is probably a TS conversation much more than just CPD, but a way for residents to be able to lock in, here is my neighborhood and I want to know what's happening there. Right now it's super onerous, I think, for an individual to go into the map and proactively see what's a new rezoning that's been proposed in my neighborhood. Maybe there's nothing, maybe there's three, and they didn't realize that those were coming up, right, because they're not an RNO, frankly. So that's still something that I think would be amazing to see, for people to opt into neighborhood notifications or council district notifications, something like that. If we're able to see the things that come up in our council district, I think a resident should be able to as well. So I think that would really kind of break down a lot of just notification barriers. So I'm still interested in seeing something like that. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilmember Torres. Looking to see if there is anyone else in the queue. We did not have anyone online. I just wanted to check one last time. Shannon?
No one online.
Perfect. So one quick comment. I stated in the beginning, I think your process that Councilmember Torres spoke to, having us in council and planning board come together and to sit and talk through this. So Council President Sandoval, thank you so much for leading that process. But that was very helpful because we both as entities look at equity, and it was good to hear their thoughts, and I think it was informative to them to hear our thoughts. I think one of the things that I think is going to be helpful as we look through this change, and we still have to vote to move this to the floor, but I know that Councilmember Cashman and other council members have been discussing the Office of Neighborhood Engagement and really looking at that notification process for RNOs and the accessibility for community members. Especially now that we've expanded the notice to tenants beyond homeowners, I think as much transparency and ease of access to notification, as Councilmember Torres stated, will be helpful. And I know that the process that Councilmember Cashman's been leading may be a good place also to provide support for your work. I have no questions because we've asked them all over the last 9 months, and so I appreciate you. Do we have any further
second?
You have a motion and a second? Any other questions? Seeing none, can we move this to the floor with a thumbs up? Gentlemen, we will see you on the floor. Thank you so much. Believe it or not, that's all one action item. We have four consent items. Thank you all. This has been a fantastic year in Luti. We look forward to seeing you next year.